Triple M's Dead Set Legends are serious about sport. Makita are serious about outdoor tools. Roll the outdoors with Makita.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dead Set Legends on a, well, it's a chilly Saturday morning, 18th of September. We've got a week off AFL, which is a little bit peculiar, of course. The big one next weekend that we're all looking forward to. I'm back from my holidays just to straighten this bad boy up. And that's a very good morning.
And everyone's just turned it off already.
To Evo and Jars. Good morning, lads.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Adelaide.
Bluey, it's good to have you back.
Oh, you didn't say that last week, Bradley.
No, we loved it last week, didn't we, Jars?
Oh, geez, you turned, young man.
Like I said, what'd I reckon everyone's just turned
it on. It flowed. It flowed, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
We had about 11 interviews. Oh, I remember that from last Saturday show.
Well, I was still on the group text message while I was enjoying myself down at Kangaroo Island.
With your lovely family.
Yes.
How'd you go?
Had a good week.
Isn't it a beautiful place, KI?
I love KI.
They're gorgeous people. And they're big fans of Triple M too, aren't they?
Yes,
you
they are.
You wouldn't mobbed over there in the main streets of KI.
Well, no.
He got a chair lifted off. Everyone was dancing around him.
Well, we tasted a bit of farm life. And I sort of excelled because I'm a bit of a country boy. But the boys
stop saying that. You're not
lambs,
a country boy.
Did a bit of fishing. We rode some bikes and all sorts. It was great fun.
Why do you call yourself a country boy when
you're
not? I
grew up in the
Burns a country boy. You look at Burns' hands compared to yours.
Yeah, but Burns changed.
They're real.
Burns
what do you
changed.
Mean changed?
Well, he's
be
changed.
Careful what you say.
He's doing mosh ads. He's doing...
I'm not sure if I've seen...
Don't!
He's not a country boy, mate.
I don't think I've seen a bigger... I don't think I've seen a bigger silver spooner than you, Bluey.
Yeah.
You are a city slicker through and through.
All right. What have we got?
Well, we haven't spoken to Ebo since last weekend's
We probably need to have a chat.
We need to have a
chat. He's a former grad of the club.
Yeah.
Bradley, we've got to talk to you about it, mate. And Kenny's come out overnight.
That's right.
And made a big statement that they have to play or appear in a grand final next year.
That's fair. Yep.
So we need to talk about that.
Yep. And we've got Jay Clark on, as always. Now, he's got some interesting news as well because it's that time of year, isn't it?
About Jordan Dawson too, hasn't he?
Oh.
So don't miss
well, he's got some
10:30.
Mail on that, which is, well, we'll just hear from Jay about
All right.
You're worried about the SANFL, Jars, for some reason?
Oh, I just got some concerns. The crowd numbers are down, I understand, regarding COVID. So I take that on board. But just everything about where it's at. And also, we've got a couple of games on tonight at Adelaide Oval. So where finals should be played for the SANFL. But it's going to be a good SANFL finals campaign coming up.
Hmm.
So I look forward to that. But, I've got some thoughts on it.
Good. I've got some cricket news as well. We've got all our regular spots, but up next, we need to speak to Ebo. We need to find out what the hell happened with your club last weekend.
Why are you smiling? Your Port fans aren't smiling. They're still hurting.
It's either smile or cry, Jazz. What do you want?
And you can be a part of the show all morning as well. 0488 51047
on
the Triple M text
line.
Hey, Ebo, Bluey and Jazz. Dead Set Legends, Triple M, morning. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M Saturday morning, Dead Set Legends. You got Ebo, Bluey and Jars.
Hey, Jars, as you mentioned, I've been away for a couple of weeks, but I saw the game. I wasn't here last week on Dead Set Legends, but obviously watched the game down at KI. Port Adelaide last week. First chance we've had to chat to Ebo.
Yeah.
I thought you might have forgotten by now and let me off the hook.
Well, and I'm sure you've done it to death during the week, Jars, but I think it's important that we need a man that's got all the inside goss and what the hell? What the hell was that?
Oh, Bluey. We sat in here last Saturday morning and we were pretty harsh on Geelong, weren't we? We were very, well, you weren't here, but we were very harsh on the way Geelong went about it, but... Going into that Saturday night.
Because they were garbage as well.
I know. And then going into that Saturday night, we were confident. And we were not trying to over-gloat it or anything like that. But Port Adelaide were primed. They were ready. They showed a lot of good signs in the lead-up to that. You know, albeit they had been inconsistent throughout the year. But they had felt like they were finding form at the right time of the year. So to deliver that, mate, was a shock. It was a shock to everyone. And I know throughout the week you've heard everyone talk about it. I guess they're still... trying to come to terms with exactly how it all transpired, but it was super, super disappointing, and you know, so far from what we know Port Adelaide can play, and I think that's the hardest part to the bitter pill to swallow was the fact that we know how good they can play, we know they can do it against those sort of sides, and then just to deliver that was disappointing.
And everyone just seems stunned. Like, all I've heard coming out of Port Adelaide is, we don't know what happened. We just don't.
Yeah.
They were like, I don't know.
It just felt like they got jumped from the outset. You know, Bulldogs
which
were able to get on top, which has happened in first quarters. So they have to adjust and have to find a way to, I guess, review that and understand what is actually happening. What is happening in that first quarter that seems to just keep happening throughout the season. But they were jumped, and they were jumped in a big way, knowing that they can then still come back. They just didn't kick. There was a time in the third quarter, I think it was, they kicked three in a row, and you thought maybe they're going to start getting their mojo back here. But by that time, it was already done.
Because contested ball, got pantsed.
It was the worst they've had
in
the season.
And every time you've won contested ball, I think 17 out of your 20-odd games, you've won those games. Mm. The games that you've lost throughout the year was you lost contested ball. So that's the area that they got to focus on in their review over summer.
Well, and what happened was, because you can always say contested ball, and oh, they didn't win it on the inside. It was the inability to win it on the inside, but then it was the inability to get to the next contest and actually be able to turn up and win that next contested ball. Because their game is very much kick to a contest, get numbers around it, surge from there. Yeah. But they weren't able to do it.
No.
And Bulldogs, to their credit, just had every single answer.
And their pressure gauge was enormous.
It was, and Port Adelaide were caught on the back foot. They weren't able to adjust off of that, but they felt very, very... defensive from the outset, and they just, you know, they were slow. They were slow, and they were very reactive in the way that they tried to set up and play.
So the contested ball, is that an intensity thing or a skill level?
It would be an intensity thing
they weren't prepared, or they were shocked by the Bulldogs.
Well, I think what happened was, yes, they were shocked. They were put on the back foot. They were reactive rather than proactive in the way that they were attacking the ball. And all it takes is that half a second. There was so many contests where the ball hit the ground, the boys were coming through, and it would, you know, skew off to the side or something. And you go, oh, geez, that was an unlucky bounce. But the reality is, if you were more proactive in the way that you were moving into it, you'd be able to sort of at least corral that.
So Port fans want answers. Mm. And their coach, senior coach Ken Inkley, spoke to my mate Rowie on AA last night. And this is what he had to say.
Significantly, I'm the senior coach of the club, so I take an enormous amount of responsibility from the performance that we put up. But as a team and as a football club, we're all in, and we're all in on it. And none of us are proud or even any one bit slightly happy about what happened the other night, because it was just a terrible night for us. And we don't have no other way of answering it other than say we've just got to go back to work and get it right.
And I know Kenny, and he will be hurting, and he will review it, and he will make sure that they're coming back with some answers and some, well, I guess, some ways that they can get out of it. But, mate, it was just, it felt as if from the outset, they were on the back foot, but then they weren't able to adjust their game plan and weren't able to, I guess, counteract what the Bulldogs were doing. And, you know, for most parts of the year, their game plan has been very simple and very straightforward, but it just didn't feel as if when the crunch was happening like that, they were able to adjust and make
some changes.
So, Bradley,
do they look at, you say game plan, so then do they look at, all right, well, let's look at our last three or four finals appearances. Mm. Does our game plan, is it sustainable for finals football?
I think it does.
Yeah.
To the most part, but on the weekend.
You've lost two prelims in a row now.
The prelim before was six points to Richmond.
But you still lost.
In a game that started to, a lot of things that were going.
No one cares about four points.
But that's it, we lost. Yeah. Hey, I get that.
That's all I did. But do you think or not?
At the same time, I still feel like they've got the game plan. So when they went back to the drawing board, I know that they would have adjusted their game plan over the last couple of years to make it very much a competitive,
right.
Finals-like
contested
game style
footy.
That you can actually, maintain
and,
through finals
and keep
football.
The scoreboard ticking out at the same
that's
time.
That's it, yes. Mm. So they haven't been able to do it in the big games.
Yep.
Like the prelim last year, I felt like it was toss of the coin. So you're saying, yes, but we did lose it. This year, once again, they were very, very much... beaten convincingly.
Now, Ebo, my understanding is that they haven't reviewed the game yet, right? So now everyone's gone away and, the guys are on holidays. Mm. Now, I refer back to when Adelaide lost that grand final against Richmond. They got blown off the park. Yeah. And then they were criticised for not reviewing that straight away. And then... going on leave with clear heads. Mm. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure if they've properly reviewed it, but I think the smartest way to do it would be to go away knowing exactly what's happened and being clear on what sort of processes and changes they need to make. So I think from a coaching group, I'm sure by the time they go, they would have cleared the air and they would have reviewed it and they would have seen what's going on. They need to just be able to relay that to players in some capacity. And I guess from a playing group, you can take some responsibility yourself, though, and actually go back and watch it. And as players, they're intuitive, they're smart. They know what's going on the game. They'd be able to watch it, be able to sort of review what they need to take out of it. So I'm sure they'd be doing that. And then, coming back into pre-season with that mindset of, okay, we've got to two prelims in a row now. prelims aren't acceptable anymore. They need to go that next step.
And that's what Kenny said, that he's conceded that nothing less than a grand final appearance in 2022 will satisfy the critics of his side.
No. Well, because they're not going to change the side again.
No.
So therefore, you're either going
Is that
up,
putting more pressure on the playing group by coming out saying that?
Of course it is.
Mm. Yeah, but at the same time, at the start of this year, he said we're there to win it.
Yeah, he did. Very bold.
And everyone went, you know what? Cool. Let's
Brave,
do it.
Yeah,
Let's
absolutely.
Do it. Let's have a crack at it. And halfway through the season, they're copping criticism because they weren't delivering. But to their credit, they were able to get back into the top two and unfortunately lose on the weekend. But once again, I feel like they're able to wear that pressure. So for him to come out and say
no
it, I think
guarantees.
They need it.
There's no guarantees that you could finish top four because every other club improves by about 15%.
That's right. I know. And that's where he's making a bold call, but he needs to make a bold call because if he was just to say, oh, look, we're going to go back to the drawing board and we'll compete, it's like, well, you've got senior players that are running out of time.
Correct.
And they're desperate to win a flag. Yeah. So Kenny needs to then go back and go, all right, we need to get to that next level.
And I felt like you played better football, or Port Adelaide played better football the previous season than you did this season.
Yeah.
That's just my take. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see, Jars, how Port Adelaide responds to this prelim loss.
Yeah.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Ebo, Bluey and Jars, 133353, that's the number. Get ready to call it. Got a $50 Golden Boy voucher to give away.
Golden Boy.
Yeah, we were discussing with Ebo the effort of Port Adelaide last weekend against the Bulldogs. Got hammered. We'd love to hear your thoughts, 133353. We've got a call. Alex from Richmond, your thoughts on Port's performance last week?
It was pretty disappointing, but I reckon they got out-coached.
Yeah, that's been
has been thrown around. Can you elaborate
that
on that further?
Yeah. No plan B. All year when they've gone Charlie focused, and it doesn't work with the small players picking up the crumbs.
When you say plan B, what are you? Because coaches only focus on their offense and defense. So what kind of plan B are you looking for there, Alex? Because most coaches don't bring in a plan B.
So you don't have it. So if things aren't working, you don't make a change.
They make subtle changes.
You've got to have changes.
Says Port Adelaide got a plan B.
Well, I don't think they have a clear enough picture on what they're trying to do. Obviously, it didn't work on the weekend.
No, but did Port Adelaide have a plan
B? I'm sure they've got something in their book that they go, all right, let's if Liberatore is getting on top, we need to bring an extra into stoppage or something. I just don't know whether that is as clear cut as what it needs to be.
Okay, so here's my thing. So Marshall was your best forward on grand final day. So Charlie couldn't take a clunk all day.
Right.
So what will happen is they either focus on Marshall next year and get him to, or they've got to work out how Charlie and him work together.
They've been doing that all year.
They've been working on that
together
for 3 years.
All year,
but Marshall next year is a year stronger. He gets bigger, he gets bulkier. Maybe he takes Charlie's spot and they find somebody else.
I just don't think Toddy's got the body size to be able to take
it. On Chuck Dixon,
it does annoy me.
Because I love the way Chuck Dixon plays.
Because what happens is Dicko goes against three players every contest.
Every bloody week.
Which therefore then you're Toddy.
Of his life.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it? Is it the small players around him then that aren't doing their job?
Well, you got to look at...
If you've got three people teaming on Charlie, who's getting the ball? That's what the Bulldogs did. They were going up 3-2 on the ground, and that's where they got the goals from the little fellas.
Well, and this is where Bulldogs were able to get numbers around the back.
But this is where you develop this at pre-season, is it? All right, if there's two blokes sagging off defenders, that means there's two port forwards free and available.
And this is what they keep
doing.
This is
where when your midfielders and your halfbacks are piling through the corridor, that's where they've got to... There's your game style there. Mm. Start using those guys.
Well, they've just got to lower the ice. This is I made mention of it a while back.
But does Port have a plan B since you've been at your time at the club?
There's certainly elements of a plan B. Yes,
but what are they?
But at the same time, they just weren't able to execute anything in that game. They weren't able to do it in a way that was clear cut and actually making a difference. So
do you think Kenny's lost the support of the Port faithful?
Oh, the fans the or the players?
The fans.
Oh, maybe, but he's always been fighting against that for 10 years,
true.
Hasn't he?
Yes, true.
Hey, just before we take another call, is there an example of a team that's got an obvious plan B then? Because it's a criticism I hear all the time about
the modern
game.
A coach that does?
Who?
Clarko. When you watch Clarko.
Hang on a second.
No. When you watch Clarko, he can change things up.
Clarko won 5 games this year.
No.
So what sort of plan B was he putting in place?
Because he had
go on.
Youth. He had youth.
Oh, so
and he had some blokes that he's moved on.
But then once he got told that he was done, they all played with the shackles off and they won last 3 of the last 4.
So what? He changes game plans up throughout the game while the game's on. That's the ability he has.
Is that a game style, though, or is that a personnel
thing? Well, that's a coach developing three or four different types of game styles throughout the game.
You've got to have a clear cut plan A.
Which you do.
And then you've got to have adjustments that can be made throughout the game. And I know that Port have practiced them, they've trained these different things, but they weren't able to execute it and they weren't able to do it clearly enough.
All right.
Another caller, what have we got?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Let's go to Alf from Athelstan. Good morning, Alf.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, these slow starts, I'm devastated, mate. I just thought, this is a year. But they've done it too many times, mate. Like, started too slow. Teams have jumped us all year. They've got to fix that issue. And why don't we... Oh, look, Mark Williams won us a flag. Wherever he's gone, look at Melbourne now. Where is he?
Mm.
You know, like, Melbourne? They need someone else to help him. I feel sorry for Hinkley. Mm. I do, you know. Yeah. I like Bassett. Don't get me wrong. I like Bassett. But there's some other issues in that club that they've got to address.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I look at their assistant coaches and look at they've got a pretty strong group around Kenny these days. And I know I've always been very complimentary of Vossi, but I feel like his ability to be that senior assistant was huge. And then Bass has been a pretty strong forward line coach, obviously defence before that. So I feel like they've still got the nucleus of a strong group around him. Anyway.
The slow starts is the issue, though. I think they've got to get on top of that. These slow starts will kill you, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Good on you, Alf. Before we get to Danny, is Vossi going to be around next year?
Well, with Chris Davies' comments during the week, it was pretty clear cut that, all right, you either, you know, make your call pretty soon, I think. So, look, I think I've said it time and time again, he's certainly cut out to be a senior coach. And so if he gets the Carlton job, good for him. But I don't think Port Adelaide should be letting him go if he doesn't.
All right, Danny, let's... Good morning, Danny. What are your thoughts on Port's performance last weekend?
G'day, boys. G'day, boys. Look, mate, I was on Sky High a couple of weeks ago, and then I had to sit through that performance last week, and so I was just gutted, mate. The thing that gets me with Ken Boy is I don't think he's flexible enough. Evo, you talked about Plan B. We were getting pumped in that first quarter, right? Mm. And why wasn't there adjustment? But it had to be an adjustment just to get stoppages in the game, something to just slow the game down. Instead of going 7-1 down, go down 4-1 in the first quarter and reset. And I just want to harp back on something that Hinkley said in the post-game press conference. He was asked why was Drew on the bench, and he answered back saying, well, it was the same in round 23. Well, just because it's the same in round 20, we got jumped in that round as well. He needed to be on Liver, shutting down from the first minute of the bounce. You have to be flexible.
I don't understand your thinking there, Danny, because that was one of my sort of gripes after the game as well. When you see a guy like Willem Drew, who we've been very complimentary of his ability to be very defensive-minded when you've got other mids that are able to play and be free, I just think he adds that good mix to the midfield. And when you've got a guy like Liberatore and Bontempelli standing in the middle, to have a guy that's able, defensively minded, can just go straight onto him and lock him down, I think that makes a difference.
Mm.
Yeah, 100%.
Love the passion, Danny.
You're cutting him down earlier. Right, you're shutting him down already.
Keep going, Danny.
You've got 2 hours to vent. Go.
No, mate, I was sitting through the fourth quarter cancelling my flight to Perth and my accommodation. That's how gutted I was. I couldn't watch the first fourth quarter at the Oval. But at the end of the day, he's got another year.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's grand final. He's got to go. You've got Buckley and you've got Clarkson in the mix there. So if he's not making a grand final next year, mate, he's got to talk to them. He's got to look at Buckley and Clarkson. Give him one more year. Give him one more year, and then he's had 10, and that's it. I'm sorry.
Good on you, Danny.
All right.
Can I have a prize, please, Timmy?
You can. Danny, go to town, mate. $50 Golden Boy voucher, all yours. Enjoy that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. They're still angry, aren't they?
Mate, a lot of passion.
They're hurting.
And understandably,
Bradley.
Mate.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I went to work on Monday, and that's all we talked about, you know? I got zero done.
Reds?
I was very unproductive. But everyone wanted to vent. Everyone wanted to talk about it. And it was the first time that I'd really sat there and opened
what,
up
Gregory,
to hearing
I worked this out. What? No Bradley Ebert, no Port Adelaide Bradley. They needed you, mate. You got to come back.
Oh, Willem Drew, he's the one that's taken it.
Can you come back? Can you?
No.
No? You're done?
Oh, mate, I'm sloppy these days, Jazz.
Join the club, mate. Yeah.
Now, we got another $50 Golden Boy voucher to give away, so maybe the first caller through, 133353. Right now, yeah. And also tune in from 6 a.m. on Monday morning with the Rush Hour guys, obviously, and state the code word for your chance to win a $150 Barbecue Boys Experience voucher. The code word is Esky. South Australia, your city needs you. Go to town. Dine at one of our 500 world-class restaurants, southaustralia.com/go-to-town.
Nice.
Dead Set Legends.
He's a bloody good friend of ours on the Triple M Dead Set Legends. Greg Rush joins us. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning. I love it when the full panel is on, the full deck of legends for the Saturday. How good.
Yes.
Hey? Rusty, did you ever watch Greg Bullitt play as a cricketer back in the day for Australia where he used to pass out with the West Indies fast bowlers?
Shut up.
You guys, what about you? Stitched me up last week about which team I should back. That went well.
Yeah, jeez. Hey, buddy. Oh, Greg.
Thanks, Rusty.
I take that as a no.
Now, mate, there were rumours when we spoke recently, but it's an absolute goer. The biggest Bathurst ever in December. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And it's kind of a bit of sugar or a bit of tonic that our motorsport community needs with, you know, supercars and many of the categories having been parked up for a while now. So, in essence, we are bringing, or they are bringing, the best of everything together, headlined by the great race for supercars. They're rivals in some ways that I've been doing some work with, TCR and S5000 and Trans Am. They're all on the billing. It's going to be a week-long festival of motorsport. A bit of work that they're doing with governments to hopefully ensure it all goes smoothly. But, man, we're looking forward to this. It's going to be big.
Wow. Hey, the tension between the title rivals in Formula One boiled over in Italy. Mm. Another big collision. And my man...
He's not
Dan,
sure.
Oh, well,
now you're jumping on
Dan,
him.
I met Dan at the Monaco Grand Prix, and he recorded a very special win.
A huge win. Absolutely huge. Timely. And he was there, wasn't he, on genuine... speed. So a few things unfolded in the race naturally, but he was absolutely a podium chance from the get-go. That car may not be super fast at every event that we go to from here on. We probably need to be a bit realistic about that, but you guys know what it's like at elite level sport. When you have a year like Dan's had and you unlock something like that, it's huge from a confidence point of view. So I think that, I mean, it's just tremendous for McLaren generally. Great for Dan. And you're right, the rivalry between Max and Lewis, we're starting to think of this like one of the all-timers, aren't we? Like Senna versus Prost.
Mm.
It's going to be great for the rest of the year. Importantly, safety did its job on the day, but man, was it a boil over for sure.
Oh, it was exciting to watch. It was awesome. So anyway, finally they released the new Schumacher doco on Netflix this week. I'm excited to watch it. You've already seen it. What do you think?
Well, I watched it the night that it came out, and it's fabulous in my opinion. Even if you're not into motor racing or you don't know a huge amount about Formula One. It takes you behind the scenes with lots of things. Some quality people that know Michael talk about his career, what he did in particular with getting Ferrari out of the doldrums and back to world championship wins after more than 20 years and so on. The family are involved in this as well. So his wife speaks and son and daughter as well, and then his dad and management and so on. And one thing that I think kind of sums it up, his son, Mick, who is now racing, as you guys know, in Formula One, talks about he feels like he'd have a closer relationship with his dad now, that they could talk the language of motorsport in a way that they perhaps couldn't when he was younger. And he says, I would give it all away now to have that with Dad again. Some people have messaged to say it would be good to sort of see Michael now. I disagree with that. The family are very protective about that stuff. And I just think the way that it is handled is beautifully done, guys. It's worth a watch for sure.
Definitely.
I'll brilliant. Be that. Well done, mate. Take care, mate. We'll speak next week. All the best, Rusty.
Hey, Bluey. Love you, mate. Love you.
Yes, Rusty. Love you too, mate.
He didn't even know you played for Australia.
Greg, who?
See you, mate. Now, what's happened to you, Chunkhead? You've been away for a few weeks.
I've had a
from
couple
Triple
of weeks
M.
off.
Yeah, well, what's going on?
Well,
where
this,
have you been?
Well, I've had to have a... So this week has basically been a holiday from my first week of holiday, pretty much, because we did some Ks.
Okay.
So we went down to Kangaroo Island for a week and had a bloody good time.
Yeah,
we had a couple of early mornings because there's only one ferry operating at the moment, Jars.
Yeah.
So it's
one
pretty much booked. No, there's two ferries that go back and forth during the day,
okay.
But there's only one ferry because the other one's got some maintenance at the moment. So we had a very early start to that week, but we got over there and had a fantastic time. So a bit of fishing, bit of quad biking. The boys fed some lambs.
Nice.
And irritated us
sport
as
your lovely
usual.
Wife, Catherine, who does a lot for that for your family. Who's
does
the
she?
Backbone of your family.
Does she?
Did you spoil it?
Of course I did.
Some reports got back that you're a little bit flat. And I found out that you were a little bit flat, that there was no spray salon over there. And you were a bit grumpy. They told, this is the intel we got. Is this true or not?
No, I took my own over. we did at home spray tank. So, no, Catherine got it.
Your pretty little hands.
But we were some really nice friends over there. So, you know, a bit of farm life for the guys.
Lovely.
Which was good.
Right.
Which was really
Young
good.
Bradley?
Mate, my family are heading off to Perth today, so I'm going to quickly duck off after this and take them to the airport and say farewell for the week.
Oh,
so,
you're nicking off?
No, I'm here. This is the thing. They're leaving me. They're leaving me behind.
No.
Jazz.
So you're going to be on your own.
So house parties at any time. Oh, it's going to be a sad week, Jazz. It's going to be tough. But,
look at you.
It's going to be all right. I'll get there. I'll get
you over for tea.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, thank you.
Hug that
first.
Hug that
it'll be a first for everything, eh? Yeah.
You can roll around in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, I'm actually going to base myself up in the Riverland. Gonna go, just go up there for the week. Yep. Work hard.
Oh.
That's work, that is, Jazz.
All right, this
anyway,
work.
That's it.
Well done.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Ebo, Bluey, and Jazz. Birds of Tokyo there playing at the granny this year. AFL newsbreaker Jay-Z 30 minutes away. Who says it better, Bluey or Jay?
Clean bill of health.
The clean bill of health. And
yeah.
I'd say me. I'd say me.
You reckon?
You've destroyed the English language.
Listen to what we got to call yourself. Who's listen Bruce McAvaney over here?
Gillis Plains High.
Took a while to get that one out there, Bluey.
You did too. You did, Bluey.
Don't you start, Ebo. What did you slaughter?
Mate, my best one I reckon was the Rocky. G'day, Ebo. It's Rocky.
G'day, Ebo, it's Rocky here.
Hang on a second. No, it's Ebo here. Anyway.
Now, lads, can I just talk about, look, I understand the COVID's hurt a lot of sporting organisations, a lot of things, a lot of businesses, but I just wanted to focus on, we've got two sample games playing tonight, 3 o'clock at Adelaide Oval, both games there at the home of football in South Australia, and it's fantastic for the sample, but the crowds this year have dropped, and it's a concern, and I don't want to be an alarmist here, but the last couple of years, it is a concern because when you've got some quality football sides running around, where are the numbers? You know, the average crowds have dropped over the last 12 months.
You can happily
wonder why. I just need to know why. Do you know why? Is it the standard of football? Is it pricing? Is it the scheduling?
I think COVID is a very
Port
easy.
And Crows being in the sample?
Why?
They're questions that
I think you can easily.
The numbers have dropped.
I think it's very easy for a poor organisation to blame COVID, and I think that SANFL can certainly lift their act in terms of. I just feel like what happens is that they're getting shown for being that old world sort of way, the old boys club, and I just think that what's happening, from an organisational level, they're not able to adjust and pivot and actually catch up with the times. Because you look at the teams, and I look in that list, and you think, well, you have some star players.
Quality players,
You have some quality games as well, where the games are, good standard of football. Mm. I just don't think they've been able to capture what needs to be done.
You know what? Since COVID, I thought it would be exactly the opposite, right? So we've been really lucky here in Adelaide. We've had a couple of lockdowns, very short ones, compared to, obviously, Melbourne and Sydney. But when things have opened up, for example, in Melbourne, when they had MCG, I reckon they could just about have packed it out at times, and they weren't showing up. Now, this is at AFL level, of course. Now, I would have thought it would have been the opposite. You know, like
you're
once
free,
you've
get out.
Get out, and then, but I reckon people have just got used to staying at home, watching it on TV.
It's valid.
But at the same time, wouldn't you say that a local league game like that, if you are staying home or staying in your region, wouldn't that help an SANFL organisation? Where if you are playing at Woodville West Torrens and you live around the area, you're just going to go there because it's the ease of getting to the game. And it's, I don't know, I just feel like they've, look, I don't have the answers. Jazz, where do you sit on that? Because you've asked the questions.
When you look at the figures and when you look at the numbers, and look, the sample have all the figures and how much it's dropped off. It might have dropped off by 10%. I don't know. But when I was coaching back in 2005 or 6 with the North Adelaide Footy Club, we were getting around, 16,000, 18,000 per round. And I reckon it's dropped down about 9.
As a total of the rounds. We're
averaging 4,500 at prospect every game.
I remember back first in the day playing SNFL in 07, and Maggies were getting massive crowds to Port Norwood.
Now they're getting about two and a half thousand per game. Like Norwood Oval on a Friday night, you had 7,000 or 8,000. Now, look, there'll be reasons behind it, and the Sanford will be looking at everything about to keep the second best competition in Australia alive and well. Now, the other thing is these finals being played at Adelaide Oval, they should have been the semi-final, the elimination final, they should be played at their suburban ground. So Glenelg, by rights, should be playing tomorrow at Glenelg Oval against the Eagles.
Well, should it be a neutral ground, or do you reckon it should be?
No, give them a reward. Home team advantage. You'll get 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 at Glenelg Oval tomorrow, right? Which is where there should be. The prelim and the grand final, yes, play at Adelaide Oval in the Sandful. But the finals leading up, no, play it at suburban. Go to the suburban grounds and fill them out.
When you mentioned this before, I was against it. Dead against it for the fact that I know from a player's perspective, you've played all year at these suburban grounds getting 2,000. Hey, let's go to Adelaide Oval. It'd be great to play. But the more you talk about it, and the more what SNFL is it's that grassroots footy.
Correct.
It's that footy where you can go and you are at 5 metres away from the players, and you can actually hear everything. You're yelling, you're getting involved, you're having a couple of beers on the hill. So the more I think about it, the more I think, you know what, that's not a bad idea. Imagine Glenelg Oval being jam-packed.
Absolutely.
It might bring a bit more enthusiasm to the game.
I don't like watching the Sandful, and it's a half-empty stadium. You know, we love our Adelaide Oval, but get it back to the grassroots. Yes, play the prelim and grand final at Adelaide Oval. Happy for that, and that's a great opportunity for these boys to play on Adelaide. But I just think these finals, they'd be great, buddy. You know, just imagine Glenelg be chocolate. Norwood and South Adelaide, say, tomorrow, because they're playing tonight, but today you've got a lot of country grand finals on around the state. So play, that'd be packed tomorrow at Norwood Oval. Norwood v South.
Well, imagine even Norwood v South on
that'd get
Friday
7,000 or 8,000. So tonight's attendance tonight will be interesting. I'm going to look forward to seeing the figures tomorrow. What these two games, what they generate. They might get 9,000, 10,000 there. Well, why would you open up Adelaide Oval?
I do get worried. Like I said, I do get worried that they're just sticking in their old ways and they're very quick to blame, oh, the AFL are doing this or it's not able to
but
adjust.
There's no AFL football smaller, this weekend, is
it? Yeah, that's it. As a smaller organisation, you need to be able to pivot, and you should be able to pivot quicker, and I think it comes from the top. So anyway,
it's just an observation. That's all it is.
So let's take Glenelg, for example, Glenelg versus Eagles. So a diehard Glenelg supporter, do you reckon they would rather go to Glenelg Oval to watch a final or to the Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit more comfort.
Yep.
You reckon Glenelg Oval?
Yeah, absolutely.
The more I think about it from a player's perspective, I reckon they'd love playing at Adelaide Oval because that's, you know, becoming South Australia's home of football. But from a fan's perspective, I don't mind the idea. Imagine that hill that they've got there, the grassed hill at Glenelg Oval, absolutely shaken.
So, and then you've got the financial reward as well.
Absolutely.
You know, the club. For the club.
So anyway, that's it. But look, hopefully we'll see a couple of good games tonight. Moving forward, we've just got to keep being ahead of the curve to make sure our Sandful competition is thriving in the future.
Definitely. Anyway.
Bluey talking cricket next. Stick around for that. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Ebo, Bluey and Jars.
What are you looking at your phone for? What are you doing?
I'm just looking at the cricket news that's come out. Now, crushing news for Pakistan overnight, because New Zealand were actually in Pakistan and just about to start their tour there, and it's been cancelled at the last minute due to security reasons.
So New Zealand have pulled out.
Yeah, so there's conflicting reports from either camp. So the Pakistan Cricket Board aren't happy at all. But New Zealand apparently had some intelligence that their players were
under threat.
There was some report that came through about them entering the stadium and a possible attack.
The cricket side.
Yes. So, you know, rightfully so, if you do have any intelligence whatsoever, you just get the hell out of it and go to the ground.
The New Zealand Prime Minister, she's going to back in her intelligence before Pakistan's intelligence. Imran Khan, he'll be flat.
But they haven't had international cricket there for so long.
And they're trying to do the right thing, aren't they? The cricket board, Pakistan
cricket
board. Well,
other countries are trying to get on board and trying to get
going there?
Back in Pakistan.
Is Australia going there to play some games or not?
Oh, well, I can't see, especially what's happened now in Afghanistan. I just don't know whether don't know. It's a touchy subject.
Yeah, talking about Pakistan, did you hear about Matty Hayden?
Yes.
What's going on there? Explain.
Well, he's an assistant coach for Pakistan for the World T20 World Cup. So
That's huge for him.
Where's that going to be played?
That's in the UAE.
Yeah. Are you going?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not. Other else? News as well, there'll be a decision in a couple of weeks' time in regards to the Ashes, because there's been hesitation from the English players about coming out to Australia. And
because we spoke to your mate, Peter Lawler.
Layla. Yep.
When you're away.
What did he say?
Well, he's got concerns because a lot of the senior players from England...
They've had a guts full of
and with all our bubble. Restrictions, because every state's different, they're saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay home and rest up.
Yep.
So it could be financially a wrecking ball, couldn't it?
Well, what's happened too is that, so what is planned is that they would come out and do their two-week quarantine on the Gold Coast, and they'd still be at the players, would still be able to train during that 2 weeks. But New South Wales are introducing this new thing for return travellers, double vax travellers that are able to do 7 days home quarantine instead of the 14 days in a hotel. Yeah. So that might just be a positive.
All right.
So they might come into Sydney instead and go to
How does it play out for the rest of the country, though? Because everyone else has still got their 14 days. And imagine WA, after having 7 days of quarantine in New South Wales, then going over to the WACA, they would just go, no way, you are not coming in here.
No.
So I guess it would just be a state-by-state basis from then.
Well, it's been happening here in South Australia as well.
We're doing home quarantine. I think it's fantastic.
So okay.
Sounds like that's the way forward.
Well, fingers crossed, Gregory.
Tim Payne's had neck surgery.
Yes,
so sounding like he's okay. What about they went through, so he's had... He had a bulging disc in his neck, but they went. You would think if you're going to have neck surgery, you just go in
the back door
where your neck is. They've gone in. They've just sort of slid his voice box across and gone in that way. Apparently, that's a better way of doing it. And which sort of begs a question. All the chat's been around. If Tim Payne's not captain, who captains Australia?
Well, who does then?
Well, a lot of chat over Pat Cummins.
So who would you like to
see? I'd go back to Steve Smith.
You're big on Steve Smith, aren't you?
Why not?
I just don't... Everyone's going on about Pat Cummins, right? So what happens with fast bowlers? They don't play the whole time. Like, there's always injuries, rotations. Okay. You know, Pat Cummins has been great for the last couple of years, but if he's, you know, if he's bowled 60 overs in a test match and he needs a rest, then, you know, you're going to disrupt, you know... The captain, so you don't want a captain coming in and out of the side the whole time.
You don't rate
so
Pat Cummins as a bowler.
Of course
bowler,
I do. As a bowler, he's the perfect player. He's the best player in the world.
Okay.
What about do fast bowlers see it as well? You know, like, because they're always on the outfield, are they able to make the same sort of calls as a captain?
Good question.
Say as like a Tim Payne
good
question.
Question.
Mate, in the
I've
contest.
Got no idea what's going there, on in those fast
so
bowlers.
So fast bowlers are like ruckmen.
So you just wouldn't put them in there.
Pretty much. They do all your hard yards, but then they, in between bowling, they just switch off down at fine leg and look around and try.
Sign
and,
some autographs.
How come you never captain any cricket sides? How come you was never a captain of any cricket side? Did you have...
Well, I did. I captained South Australia.
For how long?
When Boof wasn't there. Well, I did about...
How many games?
I don't know how many games? 30 odd.
How many did you win? What was your strike rate?
Lots.
You don't even know, do you? Because you had no support from the players. You're a Michael Clark.
Unlike you,
how many games? How many games did you captain?
No, I was always vice captain.
That was Bluey's cricket news. The Dead Set Legends with Ebo, Bluey,
and Jars presents AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark. Well, I reckon he's going to win the award this year, our boy Jay. He's been sensational in the Rush Hour BNF awards coming up in a few weeks' time. He's leading. And I reckon I might get pipped over the line this year. But anyway, Jay Clark joins us this morning.
Good morning, Jay. George. That's a very kind introduction. But who the hell is laughing in the background? I can hear something away. And I know what's going on there, you lot.
I'm more laughing at the fact that Jars thinks he's going to win the BNF.
Now, mate, Richmond Football Club's shock move on North Melbourne's very good fullback, Robbie Tarrant. Please tell me he's not going to be playing for Richmond.
Yeah, we all thought this was going to be a pretty quiet sort of trade period, but late last night it did emerge that the Tigers are all over the veteran halfback, Robbie Tarrant. Now, there's two parts to this. One, I think it's really smart from Richmond because David Asprey has retired. We know how solid and reliable Robbie Tarrant has been at centre-half back over a long period at North Melbourne. So it's an astute move. Remember, Richmond are going to lose Callum Coleman-Jones to North Melbourne and Marvin Orchard to Gold Coast, so a couple of talls there. But for North Melbourne, really, the question mark is, why did they leave the door ajar? Why did they leave the Robbie Tarrant contract so late that it allows him to seriously consider a move to Richmond? So whilst this is great for Richmond fans and a really astute pickup, it seems, what the hell is North doing? Because they need those senior bulls around this young group. As you guys say, you need a couple of firm leaders. Jack Deewell is still out of contract as well. So for Robbie Tarrant, who's a very, very popular clubman, to be weighing up a move to Richmond over this weekend, really it has come as a bit of a blow for North. And could it be the move that helps elevate Richmond back into the premiership mix? They certainly want to be top four next year. It's going to be a big 48 hours for both clubs.
Wow.
Hey, a couple of the Melbourne coaches went down yesterday, Jay-Z, Simon Goodwin and Adam Uzo. What, the dodgy prawn, or what's going on over there?
Yeah, gastro bug. Now, remember, the Geelong players got hit with it last week. It did go through a couple of the Melbourne players as well, and now has taken aim at Adam Uzo and Simon Goodwin. So they were told by their doctors to stay away from their light training run yesterday, to stay away from the playing group. So they spent the rooms... I spent the day in their hotel rooms. They'll have a COVID test, I'm sure. That's just a natural part of the process, just to make absolutely sure there's no dramas there. A bit of an interruption, but today's the big day. So remember, Melbourne hasn't had a huge amount of game time over the past month. They've certainly been well rested. So Melbourne, the plan has always been to have a full-bore scratch match today for maybe 40 or 50 minutes, get a good hit out. I'm sure there'll be hearts and mouths a little bit over the injury risk. Steve May is expected to participate for some part of that. Remember, he's got the questionable hamstring. Melbourne really confident he'll be okay. But I think everyone is hoping, every Melbourne fan is hoping, that it's just a clean bill of health and no injuries out of what looks like is going to be a pretty competitive scratch match.
Yeah, certainly worthwhile getting into a scratch match this time of year just to freshen them up for that. Well, get them into the mood to get going for the GF, mate. Now, so what's going on at Carlton? Let's move focus. Yep. There's been a development last night. What happened?
Yeah, respected chief executive at Geelong, Brian Cook, will join Carlton. So he was going to retire, Cookie, and go swimming in Greece and hang out on the islands and just really work on that tan that's all normally pretty good anyway. But he's going to go to Wycombe Park and really head up that rebuild. Now, the big news about this is that he will launch another bid at Hawthorn mastermind Alistair Clarkson. So, yes, the Blues have already had two or three cracks at Clarko, but now with Cookie locked in, signed, sealed and delivered, that is going to be repeated. So there's some talk about whether Clarko has or hasn't missed out on the course that he wanted to enrol in overseas. So whether Brian Cook, that respected administrator, can woo Alistair Clarkson is going to be very, very interesting.
Whoa, that's going to be very interesting to see. Now, let's just turn focus to Port Adelaide and Adelaide. There's Jordan Dawson, star Sydney player. He's coming home. Where's he headed?
Well, Ebo, I mean, you guys are the better judges here. I reckon this kid is a very good player. He's sensational for foot skills and... his choice is really quite simple. So we know he's met and toured with Adelaide and Port Adelaide. He could take a better, more immediate premiership opportunity at Port Adelaide, a stronger side there. You're thinking, yep, another good chance to play top four footy next year, or more money, potentially a better deal, more years, more security on a contract at Adelaide. So that will be the thing that Jordan Dawson is weighing up. Do you want the more immediate terms of on-field success for Adelaide, or the better cash, the more dollars, the better security, the fatter contract at Adelaide? What should he do, boys?
Oh, well, don't.
I hear he likes his money, Jay-Z.
Does he? Well, we've got to land a fish at some stage. Port Adelaide do it better than anyone in the AFL, Jay, as you know. They're a destination club, but Crows need some good news.
Yes.
We need to find, because Dylan Stevens is staying in Sydney now. He's re-signed for two more years. So, Jay, he's not going to Port Adelaide. I'll be at Albert Oval, and he's not going in the gate.
Jay, break Giles' heart. Tell him where he's headed.
Just quickly, I did see a funny highlight of you on the weekend. I think it was on Fox Footy. You know, greatest fumble goals or the biggest.
No.
I mean, I saw something that happened in the goal square the Friday night game, and I just couldn't believe my. How did you miss from like half a meter out?
That was the prelim, wasn't it?
Oh,
The 93 was it? Premier.
I was double tagged too that day, Jay. Sheed had me covered, but I shanked it.
More shocked about that or the head of hair that you had at that time?
You're a good man, Jay. We'll speak again next week on the rush hour, the breakfast rush hour.
Whatever, whenever you need me.
Take care, mate. Have a good weekend.
See you, mate.
Jay Clark there on the Dead Set Legends. Big news about Jordan Dawson.
Mm. That's going to be interesting how that plays out.
He can't go to Port.
He sure can. He can and he will.
No. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for your Saturday. Ebo, Bluey and Jars. We're recapping the Rush Hour's voicemail.
Well, we are, Timmy, and we normally do it with Byrne. And Byrne's coming in now, so you can introduce the Rush Hour, the voicemail. You know, this is your segment.
Is it?
Yeah. G'day, Byrne.
Hello, Jars.
G'day, Byrne.
Family out there. Blues
I
back.
I didn't listen to this voicemail. Was it good?
Away you go. Byrne, bring it in.
What? Well, so I've just walked in. You said come in and have a chat. Now you're throwing segments at me.
We're just about to play the voicemail.
Well, let's play the bloody video.
The video?
The audio, here we go.
You have 14 new messages.
14?
Jars, it's Ken. When you said you could get me tickets to the big game, I got to the Adelaide Oval and then seen the ticket said Williston. I've been in the car park for 3 hours. Greg Blewett, it's Brian from the Kangaroo Island Hotel.
Oh, no.
Just got some late charges come through that were brought forward from your hotel room. Nothing big, a bag of salt and vinegar chips, 2 600ml waters, and 9 purchases of strong in-room pornography. We'll just put that on your credit card, mate.
Strong.
G'day, Ben. Peter from Adelaide Golf, mate. Look, we don't mind just going into the rough for a bit of a wee, but can you not do that when you're on the driving range, mate? You've killed off half our pop plants.
Hello, it's Yater, and thank you so much for putting Rhett Biglands on the boundary line for the game with Port Adelaide. The smell of coconut oil and nightclubs was a bit too much in close quarters. I'd much prefer 129 games for the Adelaide Crows, Bernie Vince, who smells like fairways and excessive pale ale. That's more my thing. And can someone get Dipmar some f***ing chewy? It's Butto.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no. And, Wow. Jarves, congratulations on the big win on the weekend, mate. The planning and preparation is in the hundreds of hours, and next season, would you mind not doing that while you're supposed to be doing a radio show, mate? Plus, you owe the company $2,365 for full-colour A3 glossy
printing. Get out.
Oh, g'day, boys. Biggles here.
Oh, no.
Geez, didn't Port cop a hammering on the weekend? Just like my 30th when I jumped out of a cage 11 inches. Dripping candle wax off. He sucked the mattress. Oil. Can get my hotel deposit back.
Gee,
that's too much, isn't it? Michael from the Adelaide Oval here, Jars. Just wanted you to know, look, we're aware, all right? We've got your email. There's a Rasciutto stand, there's a Bashir stand, there's a Foss Williams stand. So we've decided to bite the bullet and give you your own stand. It's the hot dog cart out the front next to you, mate. All Adelaide Crows home games. Thank you.
Oh, it's Ross Lyon here. What a bloody hell going on with Port Adelaide? I mean, they were talking up a big game with Kane Horse, and they were unbeatable, and they ain't getting Healy going out of it. I don't even know what the hell going on. Hey, what happened? Took it right out of the tailpipe.
G'day, boys. Kenny here. Look, now isn't the time to go over what happened with the match and why we weren't prepared, but now is the time to go over the fans leaving at halftime. You can all get
Oh, Kenny.
Hi, Greg Blewett. It's Lincoln from Adelaide Colonics. And I think, not to cause any panic, but I think you might need to come back in for a quick checkup. We don't actually have home colonic kits. What you grabbed was the office fire hydrant.
Get out.
Yeah, I just hope that I can get you in time before any damage. Thank you.
G'day, Blue. It's Jack here, mate. Apparently you needed a quote for cleaning up fire extinguisher powder in 3 rooms of your house, mate. That's a weird one, but yeah, let me know, mate. I'll hook you right up.
Ben, Mika from the Stansbury pub.
Yeah, Mika.
That deal that we had for the Port fans went down an absolute treat. You know the one, you get 50% off if you're wearing either a Port shirt or you call it a pointed ankle bracelet.
Hello, boys. It's JB.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute amazing weekend full of superstars.
Yeah.
Bertie, fantastic on the call. Bluey, did stuff all, still a champion.
Yeah.
Jarman.
Yeah.
I heard your team had a win in Williston.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the strongest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Apart from the elastic on your jock. How do they fit? Shut up, Pat.
There are no more messages.
That's the first you've
What about Biggles?
It's just a continuous beat now. It sounds like someone's turned the machine off in the hospital.
Oh, he does a great job.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Now, my daughter Riley, Catherine Jarman, who's the president of the Sacred Heart Netball Club, playing their grand final today, Uncle Byrne.
Are they?
Yeah, so I think we should...
And reappointed?
And reappointed, yeah.
Let's speak to her.
Better ring her.
Hello, Riley speaking.
Hello, it's your dad. Hi, love.
Oh, hi.
But what's all the text messages? What's going on?
What do you want?
Why are you being nasty to dad on his big grand final occasion?
I'm not. Look, I called you when you were fitting in my schedule, and now you're out of the schedule, so I don't have time to talk.
Riley, what have you got on today?
Oh.
I've got my grand final.
Oh, do you? I haven't heard this. Jars, all I've heard about is you.
No, I haven't seen.
That's typical.
Now, Riley, my daughter's the president of the Sacred Heart Netball Club. They're playing their grand final today. They lost last year.
Favourites?
Oh, thanks for the reminder.
Are you going in favourites, Riles?
We're going in as the underdogs.
Ooh, well, that's not
so,
bad.
So, Greg,
that's
get any advice bad. For Riles then today?
Nothing to lose. All the pressure's on the favourites. Okay. So, hey,
yep.
Riley, I love that when you answered the phone and when your old man went, "It's Dad here," and you went,
There he goes. What's
got
he got?
Excited for a second.
Now he's got a grand final today as well.
Yeah.
So, how's he been? Has he been a bit edgy?
Well, clearly he doesn't answer his phone to family.
Well, he didn't answer his phone to me either this morning. I was trying to get him a coffee and get him up and about. He didn't answer mine either.
What about the texts that were flying around last night? I reckon there was 20 texts in the group text. Not one from Jarman.
Nothing.
No. He's in the zone.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
How did your spray tan go last night?
My weekly tan. Yeah, it's good.
Now, if you win today, which you will, what time are you getting home? Because Dad will be up waiting.
You won't see me for a week.
I like it. You got to go hard. Go hard if you win. Yes. Even if you lose. Even if you lose, you got to go hard.
No, you
do.
Yes, you do. You get back home and get back on the horse. My boys won't be doing that.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah. Okay, anything else before Dad goes? I've got to do a show, you know.
Yeah, that's about all.
Okay, good luck.
Good luck, Proud
of you.
Love you. Bye. Well, there you go, chaps. Rolling. Right, crashing in netball.
Well,
have you seen a netball game lately, Chunky?
Just early. No, I'm happy for them to give away a couple of frees early. Just to let them know you're up and about.
Auntie Tanya wouldn't like that, would she?
No, wait. Oh, you got to be physical, but a lot of contacts. A lot of contact called, a lot of obstruction.
Yeah.
What's the other rules? 3 feet?
You'd be a good netballer.
There's that many whistles.
I reckon you'd be a good netballer.
Oh, yeah.
You'd
be I'd be really good, would I?
And Gregory. Gregory would be one of those little scaredy shooters.
Yeah.
I'd be in the guts. I'd be directing traffic.
No.
You would not. He would not burn.
He's giving advice like he's some sort of tough bloke.
Yeah.
I've been around a lot of netball over the years.
You have, have you?
I have.
Yeah.
Played a lot probably too.
Now,
this
is a rush hour for the last half hour because Bradley's done a runner. Now, we're on breakfast on next week because the two other chunk heads are having a week off again.
Jeez, they get some holidays.
I know. And anyway, so you've got the rub coming up very shortly.
Yeah, got the rub.
Who are you going to pile on?
Well, it's only 2 weeks to go of the rub, so next week will be grand final day. Today, sorry, begging pardon, we've got a bit of a bracket system. It's called a knockout nuff. All the nominations for the year.
Loved enough.
We've got four different categories. We're putting them out there. We're putting them out there today, and there's going to be a vote on the Triple M Footy Instagram page. So once I've done the rub today, jump on there and vote, and just done. For God's sake, just make sure Bluey's the winner. Yeah.
If Nathan Brown doesn't win, there has to be.
They're on opposite sides of the draw, so they can get all the way through. There's 8 nominations,
right?
Semi-finals during the week, and then the done. Big grand final on Saturday. So surely they play each other.
Jars, yes. Big grand final for you today. Quickly,
look forward.
Good
to
luck,
it.
Mate.
Thank you, boys.
And CMS Crows as well. Good luck.
Yes,
I'll be there later.
See ya.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends are serious about sport. Makita are serious about outdoor tools. Rule the outdoors with Makita.